Good evening.
Hello. Good evening. All right, the moderator. I heard the moderator message, so I think I'm the only one, but maybe.
We'll find out.
Yeah, there's someone else, and I haven't heard the little beep, so, and yet I got the moderator. That happened this morning with Judy, or at 1 o'clock for us.
Well, the moderator message is when I come on.
Oh, okay.
I guess there's still a lot of stuff going on in Texas, right?
Well, I know Judy's having some water well problems, and I didn't talk to Brandy today, and Malka helped me with the house, and so we're pretty tired, and we work till 4, so.
Understood.
Yeah. I'll have to miss the Sefer Yetzirah tomorrow because we meet another urologist tomorrow at 1:15, so.
Okay. Well, we'll see if the other two come on, so.
Well, Brandy does have the busted pipe, and she was supposed to have help to fix it. I don't know if it was going to be today or if it was yesterday. They were having a hard time finding the part.
Four more minutes. two more minutes.
Do you want me to add the Shushan Purim, since I said there wasn't going to be one? Do you want it? Are you planning for Sunday at the 12:30 or?
Yes, if you wouldn't mind going back and doing that.
No, I don't mind.
I'm sorry to change my mind like that, but I really
no. No. No problem.
Thank you.
You're my mitzvah when I don't have one. I'll make sure I go edit to make the day. There we go.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we can begin. And I believe we are beginning with Pasuk 362 in the Sulam commentary on the Zohar for Parashah Vayera. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kudcha b'richu ishkinte bidkilu urchimu udkilu udkilu urchimu li'akta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe v'yichud ha'shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah v'ayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadenu k'renei aleinu ma'asei yadenu k'reneihu. Rabbi Yitzhak Amar Beha Taninan Batar Deliska Shechi Atla Yisbo. You okay?
Yeah.
Barna Shal Nisa Vela Hawa Atar Deliska Ishtaka Kahai Be Abraham Azel Batar Kamisha Malkin Lemir Hdaf Batrahu Villa Agaha Kerava Amar Rabbi Yehuda Kadazel Abraham Lahai La Azal Yagaha Karava Villa Samah Al Nisa Ela Ta'ara Lidlot Afkeya Mi Beiteya Venatel Mamona Lemi Frak Lea Ve'i Lav Diyumut Bahadeya Goy Shavaye Kewan din fak ha ma shikinta Dinahara kameya Vika ma helin Sahara neya Vahiyo Shata radaf Patrihu Viku jabrihu Katelon chada Udikti urshayim bachoshech idamu. The translation. Rabbi Yitzhak said, "We have learned that where harm is expected, a person should not depend on a miracle to save him. And there is no place more dangerous than that into which Abraham pursued the four kings to wage war against them. Why? Then did he rely on a miracle to happen?" Rabbi Yehuda responded, "Abraham did not set out with the intention of waging war, nor did he rely on the occurrence of a miracle. Rather, he left his house because of the distress of Lot, whom he planned to ransom and free. And had he not been able to free him, he would have died with him in captivity. But as soon as he began his journey, he saw the Shekhinah shining in front of him, and armies of angels surrounding him. At that time, he started to pursue them, while the Holy One, blessed be he, slew them. This is why it is written, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, the vision certainly helped his certainty.
Say again?
I said the vision that he had certainly helped his certainty in fighting the battle.
That's for sure.
Excuse me.
You know why we cover our eyes to when we say the Shema?
Because of the Shekinah that's in front of us.
Meaning we are not supposed to look upon the Shekinah.
Right.
Yet this verse is saying Abraham was able to look upon the Shekinah.
Well, it could be that it was Sarah he actually saw. You know, before he left. I don't know.
That is a possibility. I have to agree with you. But you understand what I'm saying.
That's being fired. And lately, things are kind of funny. You know, you see funny side of the scriptures at times.
I agree.
I know I have a friend that's always telling me, because they always think that I go where no man should ever go, and that they're always telling me that I shouldn't tempt the Lord our God, meaning that I should think before I do an action and not expect, if I get in trouble, for God to get me out of the trouble. So I relate to what is being said, that you shouldn't rely on a miracle to get you out of a situation, that you should have thought about doing before you did it.
Well said, Brandy. And that's really what the verse is telling us. That accept the consequences of your actions. Accept those consequences with joy. And that's the difficult part. For many people, it's accepting the consequences of their actions. They like blaming other people. But once you start on a spiritual path, you learn that it's your responsibility and you need to accept it. But you also need to accept it with joy, and that's a second lesson that's really hard to learn.
Well, it is hard, because if you go someplace you're not supposed to go and it ends up that you get a flat tire on your car, then it's kind of hard to be joyous. You took the responsibility of going where you weren't supposed to go, but it's hard to be joyous that you got a flat on your car and you have to get out and fix it. That's life.
In my youth, when I was traveling around the country teaching Kabbalah, I was traveling from Tucson to New Mexico. And it's basically a straight highway, number 10. It runs along the border of Arizona Tucson. But I had been in New Mexico before that, so I knew the route. And I have this new GPS on my phone that I'd never used before. And all of a sudden, I'm traveling around down Highway 10. And the GPS says, it's time to get off. There's a detour. And it takes me on this detour that I had been on this road before when I was in New Mexico. But then it tells me to turn left. And when I turn left, I'm finding myself on an Indian reservation in a valley. You know, it's in the mountains, but there's the valley within the mountain, or I'm as part of the mountain. And it had snowed the night before, and the sun had melted the snow on one side of the mountain, but not on the other side. And then the road turns into a dirt road. And then it's clear that I'm in the wrong direction and there's nothing here because there's not been a car for the last 30 minutes. So I stop and turn around because the GPS has misdirected me. And then I get stuck in the ice.
Oh, no.
There hasn't been anybody there for now an hour. And then along comes two Indians in a car, and they stop and help push me out. And then they go on. And I have to ask, what was the purpose of this? And it was obviously the tikkun with these two Indians had to take place. So was it the GPS's fault? Of course not. It was the relationship of the tikkun between these two Indian men and myself. And Hashem was using the electronic device. Now, is that a miracle? It is a miracle. It's the same thing as a miracle, but we wouldn't call it a miracle. But that's the idea of you need to be happy with whatever happens. Accept your responsibility and be happy in the process.
You know, I see your point, and I agree with you. And I don't have water right now at my house. And I was kind of a little bit unnerved by it yesterday by several incidences that happened. But you know what? Today it's like, oh, well, it will get better. And I got a couple of jugs of water today. A friend of mine called and said, come by, I've got empty jugs. I'm giving you some water. So, but it's like, I don't really mind, and it'll get there when it gets there. So I guess that's kind of.
Are you looking for a way out explanation for why there's such a water problem in Texas?
No, we're bad people here in Texas, I'm sure. It's probably a cleansing process, and probably you would have to have all the snow on Mount Everest come through Texas to do a cleansing process, you know. But
no, this is really different because the cleansing process would be a flood. The rain or the snow will melt and it would be a flood, and I haven't heard of that. No, this is something that's really way out there that people just, it's going to freak you out. But
well,
it's really a positive thing. It's really a positive thing. I think it's about 10 days ago, Zion Nefesh on the Daily Zohar put out reissued his video regarding the seven levels of the earth and the seven heavens. I don't know if you saw it. It's like 2 weeks ago. But he goes through it and he specifies, which is what the Zohar says, that one of the levels of the earth, one of the levels of the seven earths, does not have water in it. And sometimes we see the UFOs picking up water. It's the same idea with the crop circles. That's from another one of the seven earths, that they can't grow wheat and they want bread, so they do the crop circles. But this earth that has no water, people who were born there, who were fathered by Adam back at the beginning in the 130 years that he separated from Eve. So many of the souls have been through these seven earths as part of their tikkun process. And you have this situation where you were not there, there's no water there, and now you have to experience not having water and making up for the exchange of water with people, just like your friend did to you today. And that's why it's happening in Texas, because a significant amount of the people, the souls in Texas, were coming from that level at one time in their previous incarnations.
Well, that's interesting. That didn't freak me out.
I'll try harder next time.
That's right up my alley. That's the kind of stuff I like.
Why do you think I said it?
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
We're about out of time, so... But there was a lot of interesting material in that one long verse. You both have a good evening.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
Bring some questions to tonight's class.
Well, I'll try.
Thank you.
Okay.
Shalom.
Hello, I'm good too.